Welcome to the Laura's House podcast series. In this installment of our series, we'll be speaking with Adrian Nada, a domestic violence clinical educator here at Laura's House, about the definition of love and how it relates to domestic violence issues. In order to recover from domestic violence, one must learn the difference between healthy and unhealthy love. The question then arises, how can we begin to educate our clients on the differences without first defining and exploring the concept of love, especially when those that have experienced abuse claim to have been drawn to the abuser for the first time because of love? How can one trust love in the future when it's been so deceptive in the past? Let's begin with the basics. Adrian, can you tell our listeners how you would define love?
Sure. Well, Sir Henry Finck, Queen Victoria's behavioral scientist, wrote, "Love is such a tissue of paradoxes and exists in such a variety of forms and shades that you may say almost anything about it that you please, and it is likely to be correct." Let's start with the fact that love takes many forms and dimensions. There is the love one has for a child, a parent or other family member, a friend, and the love one has for a romantic partner. In the book, A General Theory of Love, the authors assert, from birth to death, love is not just the focus of human experience, but also the life force of the mind, determining our moods, stabilizing our bodily rhythms, and changing the structure of our brains. Love makes us who we are and who we can become. And Helen Fisher, in her book, Why We Love, explains the biological and evolutionary reasons for romantic love, including the chemical processes in the brain that fuel our experience of romantic love. She states that romantic love is interlaced with lust or sexual gratification and attachment, the deep connectedness of a long-term partner, which also happens to be present in the parent-child bond. Fisher goes on to explain the underlying biology of love, in which lust is associated with testosterone in both men and women, while romantic love is associated with a natural stimulant dopamine and possibly norepinephrine and serotonin. Attachment, on the other hand, is linked to the hormones oxytocin and vasopressin.
Is there a purpose underlying love?
Well, the short answer to that would be yes. Love is what allows us to survive as humans, to take care of one another and mate. Helen Fisher reports in her book that love is associated with our reward and motivation system in the brain, meaning we experience love as a need to survive or reproduce. If this is true, then the drive to love can be compared to the drive to eat, drink, and stay warm. One of the benefits of this motivation system is that it compels couples to get together and stay together. The downside to this process is that once the biological manifestations of love are underway, it's difficult to turn it off, which is perhaps one of the reasons those in abusive relationships find it difficult to leave. In essence, we are wired to love, and our survival depends on love, both as a biological pattern and an emotional or relational pattern.
What other components of love make it difficult for an abused person to leave the relationship?
Well, some common symptoms of love I found in Helen Fisher's study indicate that, first, love can elevate levels of dopamine, causing focused attention on the partner. Also, it's been suggested that increased serotonin levels lead to obsessive thoughts about the partner. Additionally, adversity can increase the connectedness of romantic partners. If you think about some of the common themes in movies or films, you may notice a romantic connection when two people survive hardship together, whether it's war, a natural disaster, or another type of trauma or difficulty. In domestic violence, there are often many conflicts and obstacles, which may contribute to both partners fighting for the relationship. And finally, in Fisher's survey, empathy was found to be a common factor in love. With domestic violence, the abused often sacrifice themselves for their partner, feeling their pain and experiencing their challenges as if they were their own, causing that connectedness to continue. What is love addiction, and does it have a role in domestic violence situations? Sure. Romantic love can be viewed as an addictive drug. Typically, drugs involved in substance abuse run along the same reward system, which is activated by dopamine, as romantic love. Helen Fisher states that love addiction follows the same pattern as substance addiction, with tolerance, withdrawal, and relapse. If one partner breaks off the relationship with the other, one or both may go through similar symptoms to drug withdrawal, crying spells, depression, insomnia, etc. With domestic violence, it's common to have intense attraction and agonizing separation. Many victims of abuse were easily swept off their feet and quickly spent all of their time with their partner, leaving few opportunities for solitude and reflection. When the relationship ends, it can feel like a gaping hole in the self, a tremendous loss. In fact, one could say that most addiction stems from a similar gaping hole looking to be filled.
So if it's so difficult to escape from love's influence at the physical level, how do those that experience domestic violence protect themselves from future abusers?
Well, I find the best way to protect oneself from abusive relationships is to examine and heal past experiences of relationships and attachment, beginning with one's early caregivers or parents. Similar to adjusting the antenna on an old radio or television, we need to use these past experiences to adjust and calibrate to healthy love. When the calibration is appropriate, the drive to love will be safe because there will only be an attraction to those individuals that reflect the healthy and safe attributes. In addition, those individuals with secure attachment and sense of self will be less likely to jump at the first sign of attention and interest. This healing can be accomplished through therapeutic services as well as through other positive support systems.
Can you tell our listeners more about how the early forms of attachment relate to adult romantic relationships?
Sure. Well, Shakespeare wrote, "Love looks not with the eyes, but the mind, and therefore is winged Cupid painted blind." It is with this blindness or lack of awareness that we fall in love and inevitably pick our partners. The system would work to the benefit of all if our subconscious ideas of love and attraction were healthy and safe. Unfortunately, many individuals have opposing ideas reflecting insecurity and emotional abandonment, especially those clients we see at Laura's House. These subconscious ideas or imprints stem from early representations of love. That's most likely our parental relationships that have this influence on who we will love in the future. Although all relationships have some impact, if our early caregivers were emotionally available, attuned, and safe, then the child internalizes these messages and can apply them to future relationships. If not, and the child learns mistrust and emotional unavailability, he or she will apply these messages to future relationships. We often find that those individuals in abusive relationships had early experiences of some type of abuse or witnessed some type of abuse. Others had been raised in stressful environments that disrupted healthy development. All of these experiences influence the type of person we will be attracted to and subsequently fall in love with.
Before we close, can you share some background and explain to our listeners what Laura's House is?
Of course. Laura's House is a community-based nonprofit organization that empowers individuals and families to lead violence-free lives. We offer a comprehensive range of services, including safe refuge for women and children escaping violent homes. We also offer legal support services, counseling, community education, and prevention workshops for teens on healthy relationships and dating violence. The inception of Laura's House was inspired by a true story about a woman named Laura from Orange County who was a victim of domestic violence. unfortunately, the end of her particular story is a very tragic one. Her life was cut short with her untimely death at 38. Since 1994, Laura's House has continued to grow and offer a multitude of programs and services that provide vital support and education aimed at avoiding such tragic circumstances from ever occurring again. Our mission is to change the social beliefs, attitudes, and behaviors that perpetuate domestic violence while creating a safe space in which to empower individuals and families affected by abuse.
What types of programs and services does Laura's House offer to those who are impacted by domestic violence?
Well, the Laura's House Counseling and Resource Center provides a variety of therapeutic counseling, psychoeducation, and supportive services. Assistance is available to men, women, and children who have been impacted by domestic violence. And counseling is provided in English or Spanish. Laura's House also offers shelter services for battered women and their children. And the Laura's House Legal Advocacy Program is designed to assist clients in filing domestic violence restraining orders, court support, attorneys, and shelter referrals.
If I'm a victim of domestic violence and want help to protect myself and my children from further violence, how can I contact Laura's House?
Well, they can log on to www.laurashouse.org or call our 24-hour hotline at 949-498-1511 or toll-free at 866-498-1511.
This was really informative. I really appreciate you joining me today, Adrienne.
Thank you, Laura.